Well, Christmas has always involved singing, and we've done our bit and had our share of it this evening. Now, when you look at some of the more popular Christmas songs of past decades, something of a theme starts to emerge. Whether it's Doris Day or the Eurythmics' Walking in a Winter Wonderland, the 1994 hit of Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, or the traditional On the First Day of Christmas, My True Love Sent to Me, Christmas is a time associated with love. Now, love, as Perry Como or more recently Madonna sang, makes the world go round. And that expresses a deep-seated human reality. All of us need the love and friendship of others. And without such love, all our achievements and dreams seem rather hollow. Well, the greatest pain that we feel is so often broken promises or unreturned love. There are times in life when we know we need love, but we're not sure what love really is. Well, our eighth Bible reading this evening, read by Martin, was focused on love. The great early Christian leader John, in a letter written to encourage believers to understand that they really are believers, uses the word 22 times in just a few sentences. And what John tells us, and you can follow where his words on the back of that white order of service, helps us to get not only to the heart of love, but also to see how love is at the heart of Christmas. In two statements, John gives us definitions of love that tell us some of the most important things we need to know. Well, the first definition is there on line 9. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. For God, the author of love, love is not just empty talk or romantic statements. Love for God involved giving. It meant him sending his Son into the world, as of course we remember, especially at Christmas. So this is fundamental to Christmas. God sent his only Son into the world. On July the 22nd this year, it seemed the whole world was dominated by one event. I wonder if you can remember what it was. Well, Prince George was born that day, a son for William and Kate, and as is expected, a future king. Well, now at Christmas, we recognise that Jesus was born. Jesus, the Son of God. But we need to think a little about what that means. Jesus is not God's biological offspring, like George is the son of the Duke of Cambridge. Rather, Jesus is called Son of God to help us human beings get our heads around the unique closeness of relationship between God the Father and Jesus. John Walker read our ninth lesson this evening from the Gospel of John. The reality that John speaks of in his introduction reveals who Jesus, God's Son, the Word, really is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The one given by God the Father, the one God the Father sent at Christmas, is the eternal, always existing, divine Son. John continues, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, do you see just how extraordinary this is? Christmas tells us that God has now come to our world. God has taken to himself a human body and lived a human life. As we sang earlier, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Now, sometimes you hear people say, maybe you've said it yourself, I'm not sure about this God thing. How do we know that he is there and that he is real? Well, Christmas reminds us that God has shown us that he is there and that he is not silent. Christmas reminds us that God has personally visited our planet in the person of Jesus and got involved in the story of humanity. Christmas reminds us that God understands us because he has become one of us. I wonder if you're anticipating Christmas this year with a touch of sadness or anxiety or pain. Well, God understands and can share it because he has been here in his Son. Are you anticipating Christmas with joy, enthusiasm, and excitement? Well, God understands that too, and he can share it with you. Christmas shows us that God has not just revealed that he is there, but also that he loves people so much that he came to share human life in all its ups and downs. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Well, there's a second definition in our reading, which also helps us to see what true love really is. On Christmas Eve, a desperate husband decided that he just had to get round to buying his wife a little gift for the big day. Well, feeling short of money, as he often did, he thought long and hard about what this present might be. Unable to decide, he went to House of Fraser, and in the cosmetics section, he asked the girl, "How about some perfume?" Well, she showed him a bottle costing £75. "Too expensive," muttered the man. Well, the young lady returned with a smaller bottle for £50. "Oh dear," he grumbled, "still far too much." Well, growing rather annoyed at the husband's meanness, the sales girl brought him a tiny £10 bottle and offered it to him. He became really agitated. "What I mean is," he whined, "I'd like to see something really cheap." Well, the sales girl reached behind the counter and handed him a mirror. Well, many of us Yorkshire folk might think that he wasn't being that unreasonable, but if we're honest, it's easy not just to be careful with our money, but cheap with our self-giving. Human nature, it seems, naturally looks out for number one. Our first reading this evening, read by Paul, gives us a glimpse of the heart of the human problem. God made us to love, to live in relationships of love with each other, to protect and care for the world that he made, and to find meaning in a loving connection with himself. God, who is love at the core of his being. But we human beings have chosen, all of us, to turn that love in on ourselves, to use God's great gifts on our own needs, rather than lovingly on the care and welfare of others. We have so often turned love, as Soft Cell put it now over 30 years ago, into tainted love. Well, we see it most poignantly in our own lives. We offer care to others, but find our love spurned. Our generosity is not always appreciated by the recipients. And most of us know that we are very capable of selfishly wounding others. Harsh words are easily spoken, thoughtless or spiteful things easily done. And what's more, 5 minutes watching the 10 o'clock news or flicking through the whole Daily Mail makes it clear that this is a universal situation. Now, all this failure to love, the lovelessness in our own hearts and in the world at large, can be traced to the way that we have all turned away from the one who in love has formed us and given us so much. We have a problem with ourselves, with others, and with God. A problem our reading unfashionably calls sin. Now, this is where John's second definition of love is so remarkable. Line 10. "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Just after Christmas last year, as a family, we spent a few days in Oxfordshire visiting my brother-in-law. Now, we're on a short walk in the small town of Wallingford. We came across a memorial about an event that had happened almost 70 years ago. The inscription went like this. "On the 9th of September 1944, Flight Officer J.A. Wilding and Sergeant J.F. Andrew of 426 Squadron, Royal Canadian Air Force, by remaining at the controls of their damaged and bomb-laden aircraft, steered it clear of Wallingford to crash and explode in open fields. Their supreme sacrifice and conspicuous gallantry almost certainly saved the lives of many of the town's inhabitants. Their names live forevermore. Many, many people in that quiet town in the Thames Valley were saved that night when the pilot and his flight engineer paid the ultimate price of self-giving love. John Wilding and John Andrew took the force of their plane's full bomb load instead of the people of Wallingford. The pilots gave themselves to death so that the residents might be able to live. Well, in an even more extraordinary way, God, through his Son, who was born as a human being at Christmas, paid the ultimate price of self-giving love as he died at Easter. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God, the eternal Son, who had become human in Jesus of Nazareth, bore the cost of human lovelessness within himself. The one born in Bethlehem, when a young man in his 30s, died on a cross, and in him God paid the ultimate price of self-giving love. God in Jesus took the force of the consequences of our sin instead of us, that we might live. And he truly lives forever. His name will live forever because he overcame death and lives today. Now, not only is this the ultimate example that shows us what love really is in a broken world, and the Rotarians amongst us will recognise the principle in Rotary's primary motto, service above self, but it was achieving something extremely valuable. The way to God and to knowing his love is now open to those who turn back to him and rely on what he has done. The way to receiving God's love and strength and to share it with others is now available. Well, we began recognizing that Christmas has always involved singing. And we sometimes sing the Christmas carol In the Bleak Midwinter. I'm sure most of us know it. It was written by English poet Christina Rossetti. Now, Rossetti also wrote a poem that is sometimes sung as a carol. And the first verse sometimes appears on Christmas cards. It goes like this. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Now, those slightly quaint words are true. Love came down at Christmas in a unique way. Love is defined by the giving of the Son of God. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. And ultimate love from God opens the way to him, that we might live more as we were made to. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, so that we might live through him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to your love, that we might show your love to others this Christmas and always. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.